Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready for this one?
UCR.
Go.
We say and what we want, give it to you non-stop. Any place, any time, not afraid to speak our mind. That's just the way we roll, we never gonna go. Unstoppable, original, uncensored radio.
I'll just stare at me because I'm on the front porch and I literally was doing a little dance with that while I was singing and the neighbors are staring at me hard through their window, so I'm just waving.
Only if we had Skype, man. Only if we had Skype, we could see that fabulous dance move, your Christmas dance move.
Oh, I'm telling you.
How is everyone?
I'm great, and it's my little brother's birthday today, Nick, the baby of the family.
Happy birthday!
Aww, happy birthday, Nicky.
He totally gets up at Christmas time, doesn't he? He gets, like, a hat at Christmas and, like, some gloves to match on his birthday.
Yeah, he's happy for him. And he's infuriated that my mother got us a dog. And his friend was over that's, like, been around since, I don't know, day one. They've been together forever, you know, just always around the house. And they're both, like, living at my mother because she got us a dog for Christmas, and we got it early, and Nick never got a dog. I was always the one that got dogs when we were little. They'd last for, like, 3 months, and then I'd be like, get rid of it. I don't like it. It bit me.
Poor dog. You know what, though? Tell Nick when he gets his house that he'll get a dog.
Montana for this job he's got. Karen, I've got to tell you guys, the pictures are phenomenal, and the stories that are filling in. Because he just got home last Sunday.
Uh-huh.
He goes around, he's working for a power company, so he's, like, checking pole numbers or meter reads or whatever. And, like, the dogs that come and attack him, and this one, he said it was the biggest dog he'd ever seen in his life, and he had to, like, whack it with the laptop he has for work because the dog was going to eat his face. And then he got chased by a bull, you know, because in Montana they're a little country.
Oh.
But this guy has bulls. The guy's like, I'll distract the bull while you're in there. My brother's like, oh, God. He's like, well, what if it charges me? He's like, well, I see you got a pistol there on your side. He's like, just shoot it in the head.
Oh, my God.
Wow, winning.
What? He just told you to, like, shoot his bull like that? He's like, that's what they do out there. If they get crazy, they just shoot him between the eyes and call it a day.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
That's crazy. Crazy. Yeah, that's some country. That's some country up there in Montana.
Oh, yeah. The stories have kept stifling. So I'm sure as the holidays go on, I'll have more. Just nuts. He'd be chased by a bull. I mean, this bastard.
It's
nuts.
It's nuts. Wow. Well, at least, you know, he can write a book out yonder. It'd be like full of adventures, be like Davy Crockett or something.
Yeah, right. But it's so beautiful out there. It's insane. Like the pictures he has.
Oh, I bet.
It's amazing. Like, I mean, part of it reminds me of Arizona and like California. You know, the mountains are all in the back. Oh, of course, somebody's got to come down the street with a loud muffler. Why don't you get your shit checked? Okay, have a good day.
It's the holidays. They're spending all their money on toys.
Yeah, right. Bah humbug. It's amazing. It's amazing. It made me really miss out west. I can't wait to come back.
I bet. It sounds beautiful. It sounds so beautiful.
I don't know if Montana's really my thing. I'm not trying to get, like, strung up on a fence post or anything because, you know, a little too, maybe a little too much for Montana, but maybe I'll come back out to L.A., girl.
Yeah. You fit in perfectly out here.
We'll get in some trouble.
Ooh! We get in too much trouble. I don't know if I could have you on here, Jeff, because you and Mike, we would be like, my boyfriend would be like, what the hell? You are in the streets with these two every day, all day.
Well, let me go ahead.
Put them back to Auburn.
We'll only come out for weeks. No, now that would be even more fun if you and your man came out here. Honey, I'm telling you, the two of you would be hungover for a month.
I know. I don't know that I can handle it.
Oh, no, it would be a riot. Except, you know, I can't go out dancing anymore because I'm getting too old and my knees can't handle it. I got to lose some weight so we can go out and shake our tail feathers.
Well, that's one way we can lose weight, dance it off.
And I know a place where we can go and we'll get free drinks all night long.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it.
Well, honey, then again, if you came out here, it'd be like, oh, there's a celebrity in town, free drinks for the house.
That's hilarious. That's so cool. So, Mike, why are you so quiet over there?
Well, you know, I was fiddling around on this. You guys know that earlier this week I signed up for a Twitter, so I've been fiddling around trying to get all the applications and stuff all connected to my Facebook page, so when I update one thing, it updates another, but I was just messing around
exactly.
with something. And one of our listeners here at the show, Johnny, has some timeline thing on his Facebook. It looked more like MySpace. It confused me.
I
was confused there. I couldn't figure out what website I was on. Is it MySpace? Is it Facebook? Is it Twitter? I don't even
know. That's Facebook's new thing. Like, they just kicked that off like a week or so ago. So,
but not everybody has it, though.
Right. You have to, like, I guess, download it or yeah. I don't want that, though. I just want my same old, same old. Don't give me no nothing. And they say it's kind of messed up because, like, people can go and kind of see what you've been doing. You know, they can pretty much pinpoint what you've been doing, what you posted, you know. And I don't really know that I want people to do that. Like, it kind of infringes
right.
on your privacy. Like, that's the big thing, like, they keep saying. Like, Twitter, I mean, not Twitter, but Facebook keeps pushing the privacy issue, you know. Like, it's just too
yeah.
much.
Yeah,
it's
it
much,
is. It's a little crazy. I mean, I'm going to see how it goes. I'll give it a shot. I mean, I just did it. I'm kind of confused as to what it just did, but that's okay. Whatever.
I'm still confused by Twitter. I'm still confused. Like, it's like, I just don't get it. Like, I just don't, well, I mean, I get it because people are into it, so I do it, but it's like, I don't know. It's just,
it took me a while to get into it. I mean, as you guys know, I just got a Twitter account last week on Sunday. You guys can follow me. I'm at @OriginalMikeJ. And we'll make sure that we get it updated on our website and all of the other
things. Doesn't have a big head or anything. Mm-hmm, just saying.
Because you don't want to talk to the fake Mike J. That's what I'm saying.
No, no. So there's about,
you need the original.
I am the original. So just if you're looking for me, it's Original Mike J. There's no other. There's no other. So
no other.
The funny thing is, I mean, I got the Twitter now because people were asking me in the chat room, or us rather, you know, when we're doing the shows at night, you know, how do we follow Mike? Where's Mike? Where's Mike and all this? I'm like, all right. The people, what can I say? The people want me. I mean, I had to create a whole new Facebook thing for myself because I didn't want them mingling on my personal page, which... Now that I have the other page, I never use my personal Facebook anymore, so I might as well delete it. So,
right.
I don't even know, but
it's a lot to put up, I mean, deal with. Like, I've got, like, you know, my personal page. I've got a fan page. I've got another, you know, company page. I've got the unscripted page. I've got the grown-up page. There's too many freaking pages. I wish I could connect all the dots. Facebook needs
right.
to come up with that, so that you can
well,
have
no,
like your
business,
your personal, you know.
I think some, like, because I know for us, I think our unscripted radio page, like, it's one login for me, and it lets me post as unscripted radio. I don't know. I mean, that's a whole other technological. If we ever get the guy that invented Facebook on our show, or at least the guy who played him on the movie about Facebook, or even the other one, that Andrew Garfield, because he's kind of hot. I'll be all right with that.
Yeah.
I don't need the CEO of Facebook. I'll just take the guy that played his friend in the movie. I'm still good.
Right.
I'm still good.
You're ridiculous.
Just
oh,
FYI,
Lord.
You're listening, Andrew. Or anyone
yeah.
who knows
if him. Anyone happens to know Andrew Garfield out there, just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Send him a message on Twitter for me, would you? Oh, gosh.
Man.
How are we doing, guys?
Facebook always makes it kind of tough.
Yeah, how are we doing? I mean, we've only got 4 days until Christmas.
Ooh, cramming it in, Matt. Cramming it in. I'm here in Texas, and it's freezing, and I'm just, like, trying to get everything... You know, I waited till the last minute, and I didn't want to have to drag gifts all the way across, you know, California to Texas on the plane and pay American Airlines and Uber in amounts just so I could carry my unwrapped gifts. So I just mainly bought a lot of stuff out here, and it's like supermarket sleep. Like, I'm running down the aisles and throwing stuff in in the basket. You're just going to get what you're going to get. It is what it is at this point. But luckily, my family
is
really cool, and they're not really into, like, gifts, and they're more happy just to see me and see my boyfriend. And we've just been having so much fun together, but it's like they don't really care about that other stuff. But, man, it's been a
I need to have a conversation with them.
Karen.
Tell them
Karen, you know why I I just think, Karen, you know why I love you?
Why?
Because you just make segues so damn easy for me.
I read the notes. I read the notes that you send me.
I actually look at it every time.
Michael sent me, like, he'll go, okay, this is what the show's about. I actually sit there, I read it, I think of my ideas. I'm like, okay, cool. So, I mean, it's in the back of my mind. I get lucky sometimes. kind of segue.
So,
go ahead and segue us, though.
That, you know.
Well, what
okay,
the hell are we
so,
segueing to while you're sitting there trying to figure out the technical difficulties?
I know. Well,
just sitting here.
The segue is bringing your significant others home for holidays.
Oh, yeah, that's like, you know.
Huge step. Yeah, my family actually, last year was the first year they met, everybody met him, and he was a hit. Like, they loved him. Like, he fit right in. And so now this year, they're, like, counting down the days. They're, like, ready. I think they're more excited to see him than they are to see me. counting down, you know? And they were like, yeah, because, I mean, my boyfriend's such a cool, easygoing kind of guy, and I have to bash my ex, but, you know, he wasn't quite as easygoing. He was a cool person. He got along well with my family, but my boyfriend now is just, like, heaven sent. Like, he's the kind of guy that you don't have to entertain him. Like, I don't have to, you know, entertain him and make him comfortable. He gets in where he fits in. He makes friends, and he's that thing, and he doesn't need me, like, right there, you know. He's just cool and has a good time, and my family just absolutely loves him because he's just a really genuine kind of guy. When you guys meet him, you'll see. He's a quiet guy, which is funny because I talk so damn much. And I, like, make up for both of us. He talks a lot. It's just like he just is one of those people who he'll talk if he knows you really well. But if he doesn't know you, he's a pretty quiet guy just naturally. But, yeah, that was a huge step for me last year. Like, I was like, oh, he's going to meet everybody all in one swoop.
Now, was he nervous, too? Or were like, was he nervous, or was he more nervous for the both of you?
No, I was nervous for both of us. He wasn't nervous at all. He was just like, you know. I guess because he's very confident. Like, he always would say, he goes, your family will love me because I'm going to take care of you. And I'm going to always care about you. And so, what's not to love? If that's what I'm doing. And I'm like, well, there you go. There you go. So, no, he met everyone. Like, he met my mom. He met my mom's significant other. He met my dad. He met all my sisters. You know, I've got five sisters. He didn't meet my brother. That's the only person he didn't meet. But my brother may or may not come in the next couple of days. So if he does come, he'll get to meet him this time. But, that was crazy. And the kids.
So wait,
funny,
how long have you guys been together?
We've been together 2 years. We're celebrating our 2-year anniversary, January 6th. But we've known each other for 15 plus years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And do you only get back home around Christmas?
Yeah, well, I usually get home more often. But this year, it's crazy, 2011, I decided to focus on my career and focus on, you know, grown-ups and really getting that off the ground. So any money that I would have or anything, I was putting it into the project. So then I found myself going, what the hell? I haven't been home in a year. Like, that's the longest. I usually go home every 3 months, guys. So I was fiending by the time I got home. Like, just like, oh, it was the hardest thing. But look at what I've done this year. Like, I've been able to, you know, it was like major accomplishments. I'm like, man, you know. But, you know, it's pretty expensive to fly back and forth. But luckily I had my nephew come out this year and my sister came out, so. Yeah, it wasn't like I didn't get to see anyone, but, man, I haven't seen my mama.
Oh, no, absolutely.
I know.
I mean, I can,
we're so close.
You know, I can actually, I can really attest to that, Karen, just because normally, you know, I, I lived close to home, and I, you know, didn't make that much of an effort to drive home. I mean, I only live 2 hours away, but especially lately around the holidays, probably between Thanksgiving and New Year's, it's going to be a really tough time for me just because of the drive, and it's, you know, hitting me that I'm, you know, I'm not in the same state anymore. You know, it takes me five and a half hours to get home, you know.
Wow.
But I mean, after the holiday finally passes, I'm sure I'll be fine, you know, but it's just a matter of getting through it. But I, you know, funny thing is, I never actually had to bring home one of my, I don't know if you want to call them boyfriends, lovers, fling of the moment, whatever. You know, I never had to bring anyone home for the holiday.
The flavor of the month.
yeah, exactly, the flavor of the month. I never had to bring any of them home for the holiday. But I did have to, you know, I did introduce my parents to the first guy that I was serious with.
How did it go?
It was interesting. You know, I didn't really quite know how to act with him around my parents, and I don't know if it was more of a gay thing where I didn't know how to act with another guy around my parents, which there was never any issue with that, like, not whatsoever, you know?
Right.
Or if it was just I didn't know how to act being with another person in front of my parents in general. I really don't know, but
it's
so weird.
It's kind of like, you know, even for me, it's just weird first time, you know?
It is, and it's so funny because after we broke up a few months later, my stepmom actually said to me, she's like, you know, I didn't want to say anything at the time, but I could just tell that you two weren't going to last. She's like, you just had this whole air about you that you just couldn't be bothered with him. Which, you know, oh, God. Jeff, I don't know why everything is so big. I'm not sure. I see it, too. Sorry, guys.
I just didn't want to make sure, like, my eyes were going or something. I'm sitting here looking at the studio like,
I wondered the same thing
I felt like I was on that weird Mario board, you know, where, like, everything was, like, huge in the game. Like, what the hell is going on?
That's funny.
I thought it was just my computer or something, because when I first logged in, we used a virtual switchboard, and the text is, like, jumping out at my face. I'm like, what the hell? But anyway.
Guys are always online, and I'm never online. Like, I'm always in the car.
you're always on the go, I'm telling you. You're a world traveler. But
You're in L.A. where it's warm, and we're in, like, the cold northeast where it's freezing, and you don't ever want to go outside.
It's actually cold for you guys. Well, I mean, it's actually, you guys would love it. Like, right now, it's probably about 50 degrees. But for us, that's cold. Like, we're like, it's freezing. I've been battling, like, sickness. And 50 degrees in L.A., but in Texas, it's, like, 38. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's cold.
See, what the hell happened to
global
warming?
It's, like, below zero. What is it? What is it over there? Like, 10?
No, I think it's
it's about, like,
30.
Oh, okay. So we're about the same in Texas.
Yeah, because we're not even getting real. I mean, we have not hit snow. Like, when you know, I'd been out at Joe's parents' house in Corfield out by Buffalo, and there was snow out there. Like, it snowed while we were out there and stuff. And it was the first time this year we've seen snow. But out in home in Auburn, nothing.
Nothing.
It's
wow.
It's been horrible. Which always, like, and it happened last year, too. And for me, like, I think that it's one of the crappy parts about, you know, it kind of gets you out of the Christmas mood when there's no snow.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because you guys can actually get it. So that's kind of, like, nice.
Yeah.
It never snows.
Yeah.
I've been out here in L.A. I remember one year my mom and everyone came to visit me for Christmas. And it was, like, 80 degrees, and we went to the beach. Like, I was so pissed off. Like, I was like, you have got to be kidding me. This is not Christmas. It felt like a summer day. I was so mad.
Well, that's what, I mean, when I was out there, because we went out for Christmas years ago, and we were in San Dimas, California, and, like, you know, we were at Disneyland. I was out swimming in the pool in the backyard. I mean, but as a kid, like, I thought it was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
Wow, winning.
Like,
And even when I lived in Arizona, it was like, you know, like Thanksgiving time and like Halloween, you know, shorts and a T-shirt. We're on the golf cart drinking our ass off, trick-or-treating. You know, Thanksgiving,
right.
I'm in the pool. Like, that was cool, you know, but I don't know how I'd feel about Christmas time with no snow.
Right. It's cool if you don't live here and you're visiting and, like, you come from someplace cold, like where you come from. It's not cool Christmas time. And you're like, you would like it because you like Christmas stuff.
Yeah.
You'd be like, what the heck?
I mean, I would like it if I could afford to have snow brought in like Aaron Spelling. I'd be happy as pie.
Oh, Lord. See, I used to be the type of person I had to have snow for Christmas, but since the past couple years, it hasn't really happened so much.
Uh-huh.
At this point, I'm just sort of like, screw it. If I'm not going to have snow in New England for Christmas, I might as well just get myself a nice little plane ticket on JetBlue and fly myself to L.A. and go hang out on the beach with Jesse McCartney and Charlie Sheen.
Wow, winning.
He's addicted to that winning.
Yeah, we're going to have to ban him from the sound effects.
Wow, winning.
Yeah, he's about to get banned. He's got like two more, and then I'm going to have to issue the ban.
Miss Jackson's going to get out. She's going to get out the car. Oh, Lord. Well, you know, all right, so we've heard about my first time experience introducing my fling of the moment to my parents, and we heard about Karen's first time. Well, Jeff, what was it like for you and Joe the first time you brought them home to meet Joyce and Jeff?
Well, you know, for me it's never been a big deal because, I mean, throughout my life or whatever, like if I wasn't dating somebody, I always had close friends, so there was always somebody with me for the holidays. You know, it didn't matter, whatever. So, I mean, for my family, it's nothing big. My brothers are the same way. Like, there's always some friend or whoever there. So, it really was never anything. Joe and I started dating in, like, August, so everybody knew him by then anyways. But we started dating in August. I was just saying it this week, or this past weekend when we were out in Corfu, and I've never watched so many Lifetime holiday movies in my life, and I'm good for, like, the next 10 years. I'm so over it. But, like, one of the movies where, like, she was bringing her fiancé to her family for Christmas. I'm like, what idiot would just bring their – who doesn't meet their in-laws until Christmas Eve? What a crock of shit. And then I realized that's exactly what happened with Joe and I.
Yeah.
Michael, are you doing your
Christmas? Me and my boyfriend, yeah. I brought him for Christmas.
That's
so not me. Karen, you doing dishes? What's going on over there, sister?
I am.
I was like, what are you making me for dinner?
I'm emptying my dishwasher. I'm so sorry. I'll be quiet.
No, I got excited. I was hungry. no. So, yeah. So, now, at the time, Joe was not out of the closet. Joe, like, came out of the closet, I think, in, like, November, October, the end of October-ish, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they, like, his mom was okay with it-ish. His father, like, flipped out, was not having it, no part of it. Like, his father and I, it took a long time for us to finally get along to the point where I just tell him to, you know, go to hell now and to shut the fuck up. And, you know, we have a normal relationship, I guess. but so, yeah, we go out there. Like, I'm nervous because his family's religious. You know, like, all of a sudden, like, he's gay, like, everybody knows, so they all know who I am, and I have no idea who any of them are. And it's not just, like, we're going to his mom's house, we get there, I meet his sister, and then there's this huge family party at his aunt's house. Okay, and I am not a shy person, as everybody says, but I am, though. Like, I'm not shy when I'm around my group of people that I know, you know. When I go into a group of people I don't know, I cower in the corner and I don't say boo. Like, I am scared to death. I'm just, you know, I freeze. I don't like it.
Oh, no, Karen,
so his mother and
like,
I.
First day of high school. Oh, I wish you could have been there for the first day of high school. He would have let me walk across the room. All right. I would try to get up and be like, oh, sit down, sit down. I'm like, I got to pee. He's like, no, you don't have to pee. Sit the fuck down. Really? Sorry, go ahead.
I'm horrible. Like, people are always surprised. They're like, you can't possibly be shy. And I'm like, well, I'm not when I know people, but to go into a new place or whatever, it's horrible. Like,
I'm the same way. I don't like to, like, I'm a people person, but I'm not like one of those people who just walk up to people like, hey, what's your name?
Right.
Like, no.
Yeah. You know, and then it's like weird because, I don't know, like, I'll just close off and, like, I'm just done. Like, you know, Like, in my always way, obviously, is that, you know, like Karen, you were saying, like, it was kind of funny because Joe and I have the same relationship as you and your boyfriend. Like, I talk enough for the two of us. Joe's very shy. He doesn't, or he's very quiet. He doesn't talk much, you know, unless he knows you, and then, you know, you're fine.
Yeah.
You know,
no,
so
that's
the same kind of situation.
True. I mean, it's fine. How
I was
long
waiting
have I
for Mike
Joe
to say
for?
Something.
How long have I known Joe for now? Like,
four years,
maybe? 4 years, and I swear to God, he's only started talking to me for the past 3 years. It's funny.
Yeah, like, it's really
funny. It's so funny.
Yeah.
And now,
it's been a long time.
Yeah. What did he say? Oh, my gosh. Like, he would not say two words to me. Now, all of a sudden, I can't get a word in edgewise, and he always makes these little comments, and I'm just so surprised because Joe doesn't talk. Like, I'll come down after a heavy night of drinking, and it was like the last night, but over Thanksgiving. We were having a party, and Jeff was still upstairs sleeping. I come downstairs. Joe looks at me, and he goes, well, how are you feeling? Like, excuse you? what did he say to me over the summer? He said something. Oh my God, it was hilarious. Just because, and I wish I remember what he said, but he said something.
What did you say to Mike over the summer that was hilarious? He's telling me he wasn't here.
No, you guys were up here.
Oh, well, we were in Boston? I don't know. What did you say to Mike that was funny? Apparently there was something.
He said something, and I just remember.
Okay, see, and that's the show. Joe just said, I'm funny all the time. I don't know what you're talking about.
Right. Take a time, anytime. That's what I did.
Well, you know what's funny, Michael, is he gets so pissed because he's like, you know, whatever, because of the show. I want to be friends with Karen Ashley. How come you're, like, like 2 weekends ago or whatever, Karen, you and I were, like, texting on the weekend or whatever. I think we were fighting about the Christmas tree kind of thing. And Joe's like, you're best friends with Karen Ashley. She's going to text you. Oh, that's not fair. I'm the one who loved the show as a kid. And then, you know, I always hold it over his head. I'm like, Joe, you know, if Karen, when grown-ups gets picked up, Mike and I, we're Karen wants us out there all the time. Like, we're going to have to, you know, just rattle his cage. And he gets so pissed. What the hell? I want to be an actor. No, I want to go. I'm like, Karen said we got to come out there for, like, 2 months, and you're going to have to stay here because this is business.
I'm horrible.
Joe, he can be my bodyguard. I mean, Karen, don't you agree? I'm gonna need a bodyguard and, like, you know. Well, yeah, because
when I say stuff like that, I feel like that crazy girl, and I'm trying to figure out a way for you to get me on Grown Ups, or to get myself on Grown Ups. Just saying. Oh, I'm sorry. Stalker was last week. Never mind.
Yeah.
Wow, winning.
Okay, that's your last one.
I thought I had two more. All right.
No, you know, that's the last one.
Okay. So Joe's really shy or whatever. So I get out to his family's, okay, and I am not a touchy person.
Right.
You know, like, if it's my friends or whatever, like, I'll hug, you know, or whatever, but, like, I don't know, it's my friends. Like, my family, like, we were never huggers. And if I don't know you and I've never met you, I don't want to shake your hand. Like, I don't want to hug you. Like, I don't know you, you know? Joe's family, of course, is the biggest group of huggers that you've ever met in your life.
No.
And they're like, and then they, like, sit down. Like, the kids all sit around the Christmas tree and they read the story about Jesus and Christmas. And I'm just sitting there like, oh, I'm going to burn on this couch. I'm going to burst into flames right now. I'm like, oh, please get me out of here. I'm literally texting everybody I know in my phone book, like, please come get me. I need you to drive to Buffalo on Christmas Eve right now and come get me out of this hell that I'm trapped in. They're talking about Jesus. They're all hugging me. Joe and his mother, or Joe's mother and I, have, like, killed a box of Shiraz. Like, wicked things are not going well. Come get me. And then Joe's father, you know, they can't sleep in the same room together. So I got put up in the attic. In some bed, I myself, in, like, this freezing attic. Like, it was horrible.
Oh, no.
I just wanted to die.
Well,
you know, unless his mother doesn't know me.
Now?
Yeah. We started a long time ago. He got over that, like, after maybe, I don't even think it was the first year, but it took him a while. Like, he got to know me, and, like, he was like, oh, you're pretty cool. Are you guys okay?
Then you were in.
Yeah, like, he still doesn't completely get it, and, you know, like, now still, like, it turns into us picking on each other, and then, you know, like, now he's actually getting to the point where he'll make sexual jokes towards me. Like, to the point where Joe kind of gets a little creeped out, you know? I'm like, oh, dear God. And I'm like, honey, I'm never going to leave you for your father. Don't worry about it. He may be
right.
The kind of dead.
He's
because
not
his
my
father,
type.
You know, he loves, you know, old school movies, musicals, Judy Garland, White Christmas. He listens to Phantom of the Opera. So I'm always calling him. I'm
right.
Like, you're the biggest homo I know, dude. I'm like, Jimmy. And I'm always, I literally yell his name. I'm like, Jimmy. No matter where he is, it's how I say his name. And, like, he's always like, you want to watch this I Love Lucy rerun with me?
Aw, you guys are bonding.
Yeah, like, we totally bonded to the point where literally when I go out there, him and Joe's mom will kind of fight over my attention, like, who gets it more? And I'm like,
aww.
Well, who wants to take me out and buy me things?
Right. Then that's who gets my attention.
That's
true.
Funny. That's
great.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was rough in the beginning.
I can't imagine.
I'll tell you what, I do not recommend having the first time meeting family at holidays. It sucks. Now, Karen, when you went there, were you in the same room?
Yeah, we were in the same room, same bed. I guess it could have gone horribly wrong, but thankfully it didn't. I mean, it was just cool. Like, they were so excited to meet him, and you know, at that point, we had been dating, and we already lived together. So it's not like they didn't know that we were an item and it was serious. But, you know, it was just one of those things that that was the only time that we could meet, you know. He was coming out for Christmas with me, you know. That's when I was going, and that's when he was going.
That's how, I mean, it worked out. But Joe and I were already living together. I mean, his family was really welcoming, but it just was weird for me. Like, I just assumed stay in the back corner, kind of not say nothing, and they're all
right.
Like going out of their way to come up. And I mean, to this day, literally, but I think it's because that night, I don't really remember, but you know, I tend to get hammered and I tend to get loose at the mouth as always, and you know, I'll like start trying to be funny and making everybody laugh, and it usually is very successful. And so now they always expect me to be that person because, you know, we don't spend that much time together. So now it's like
they want to put on a show.
Yeah, so I'm not putting on a show. They're like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? And I'm like, dude, I'm just sitting here trying to eat my damn burger. Leave me alone.
Stand-up show started for at least a couple more hours.
And at this point, they've all listened to the show, so they know how much I hate hugging. So I swear to God, every time I see them, they hug me to spite me.
They hug you to death.
I'm like, don't touch me. No.
Yeah, I'm a hugger. My family's huggers, too. Like, we hug each other every time we see each other. We hug each other when we leave each other. We hug all the time.
With girlfriends, I'm like that. Not so much with guys. Like, I don't think Mike and I ever really hug. Maybe once
in a while. No, that'd be too weird. Like, it's too weird. Like, I mean,
now, like,
and
my
I are so much like brothers.
Brothers,
oh,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
But, like, when
That's
I have my girlfriends or whatever, when I run into one of them that I haven't seen in a while, like, I'll hug them, and I don't know. Like, I'm just weird about it, I guess.
That's funny. It's funny because my family's very affectionate. Like, we say, I love you when we get off the phone.
Yeah. Oh, no.
We hug all the time. And, I mean, we're always, like, sweet dreams and, like, little things to say to each other. And then when my boyfriend talks to his family, I'm like, did you tell them you love them? And he's like, no.
Okay, that's exactly how
wow.
I feel.
Wait, oh, my God.
Like literally, my mother and I say I love you three times a year, Christmas and birthdays. It's like it. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't do it. Like, we don't. Every time
I say it like three
family,
times a day.
No, he gets off the phone with his family. Before they get off the phone, they all say I love you. And to me, it's just the it's the craziest thing. Like, I don't, you know,
Oh, wow. Just going back to the hugging
thing,
though, like, I sort of just had an epiphany, like, with the hugging thing, because, like, Jeff and I don't hug, and I started just, you know, going back through my mind about, well, do I ever really hug guys? Yeah, I actually do. It's so weird. Like, I don't hug other gay guys, but I will hug straight men.
No, you hug
gay guys.
If you have
ulterior motive.
If you've got your fatal attraction going on, you're a big hugger.
Well, you know, if I'm going to hug someone and they're kind of cute, I might try to cop a few at the same time.
But I
time,
actually
like,
think now, Michael, since you've been gone the last few times we've seen each other, I think we did hug.
No, we didn't. You're dreaming
like
some shit.
Like a quick one. Like the whole half-shoulder thing.
The half-shoulder. well,
you know, where
you
kind of bump shoulders or whatever and do the little quick pat on the back.
Shoulder bump. That's what Rich and I do.
I don't know. It's weird. Yeah, no, because you rub, like, down his back. Like, you caress him. It's a little different.
He grabs my ass, too. He grabs, and Karen, in fairness, he grabs my ass, too.
Karen,
who is this?
In fairness, this is our friend's husband.
Mike has a big crush on him.
Like, because, what was it, last New Year's, she was kissing a girl when the ball dropped, and Mike was kissing Rich. I mean, it was bad.
Oh, my God! Are you serious?
We haven't
but
told
she, like,
the story
she just
gave
the girl, like, a peck on the cheek, you know, kind of a kiss, where Mike, like, face-planted Rich and, like, had him pinned up against the wall.
Oh, my God!
Like,
what did he do? Did he kiss
Rich,
you back?
He kissed me back. He kissed me back. Oh,
wow.
You think that's bad. Last New Year's, Karen, and I think, and I apologize because I think we've told this story before. It turned out that one of Joe's, like, lifelong friends that, you know, from Buffalo, that apparently he thought he knew somewhat well. Well, it turns out you slipped that boy a few, and he turns a little queer.
No. What happened was.
Oh, there was no
kid.
And you can't pin
this
on me. No.
You're right. But he was always like that because he would always say stuff to Joe, you know, about stuff or whatever. When I went out there before that New Year's, he had made comments. I'd totally be with a guy. I'd let him like, yeah, okay, whatever. So he was trying to mack it to one of our other friends, and her, like, fiance is sitting right next to him. Like, last year was so weirdly charged. Like, I was kind of uncomfortable at my own house.
Everybody was getting with everybody.
Literally, this kid said to my friend, like, she's crouched down because he, like, passed out on the couch, and he was kind of drunkish. And, you know, they had been flirted years before she got with her fiance or whatever. When the joke and I first got together, like, they had flirted a little bit and whatever. So they're down there talking, and, like, her boyfriend's sitting on a couch, like, less than a foot away from them. And, like, you know, they're kind of flirting, and everybody's kind of, like, sitting there watching with their jaw dropped, and I think we actually have it on camera. Like, we have them doing that. And then he looks at her, and he's like, if your boyfriend wasn't right there, I'd kiss you. I'm like, oh, my God, what is going on in my house?
On camera?
I was like, is there something in the water tonight? Like, what is going wrong here? So, needless to say, he goes to bed, he wakes up again, and then he ends up hooking up with Mike. And he's like, oh, I'm not into stuff like that, but I'll do whatever. So me and Joe's other friend, who's like, you know, 21 and a virgin, the poor bastard, we go upstairs and we, like, kick open the door. We took pictures. Okay? Like, and all of a sudden, Joe's friend grabs Mike by the back of the head and starts making out with him. At that point, my jaw hit the floor and I walked away. I'm like, I'm done.
Oh, my God.
Karen, I was shocked. I mean, I'll honestly admit that I've came across a couple, you know, straight guys that, you know, you hear about those stories. They happen in college all the time. They have a couple of beers. Everyone's had a couple of beers. You do a little circle jerk, you know, and then maybe you suck on them a little bit.
I can't believe you just said that.
It's that
oh
kind of show,
God.
Apparently. You know, and...
You're staring.
You know, no big deal, whatever. But
hilarious.
But, you know, so... But this kid, like, I thought, okay, whatever. I'm all for the show, okay? I mean, I'll put on a little performance, whatever. I don't care. I was happy. I was having a good few. So, you know, I do my thing down there. I don't want to get too graphic. This is a family show, and it's close to the holidays. So, you know, I do my thing. But then next thing I know, he, like, straight guys or you know, guys who even proclaim that they're straight are not into making out. I'm sorry, that's the line that most straight guys or questioning, queers, bi-curious, whatever you want to call them, they don't cross that line. This dude grabbed me by the back of my hair, fucking teeth are clanking, and he's like, fucking my face off. I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, if you're
going
to go that far, he also put his hands down your pants.
That he did that too.
He did?
Yeah. Karen, I mean,
he was
frisky. He was the whole package.
I told him smoking. Joe has totally been listening to this whole conversation. Like, I open the door, I see Joe on the phone, and he's just got this, like, look, and I'm like, oh, shit.
Dude, he's been listening for, like, the past 12 minutes.
You could have warned me before we started talking about this.
About his friend?
Yeah, oh, well, Karen, there was a really embarrassing part. Remind me to tell you later.
Okay. I can't wait.
Oh, yeah, that we can't. That we can't
tell
on air.
Could you give me the PG-13? Could you give me the PG-13 version or no?
I'll
put it to you this way. Let's just say that my pinky is bigger.
Wait, what did you just say? Did you
say
that?
Your pinky is bigger.
It's on the camera.
Oh,
like, there's actually a picture of it.
That's why he's greedy.
You have
That's
to zoom
did,
in. Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's pictures. There's video, too.
Okay. Karen, I have this rule.
God.
Okay, if you're going to act a fool in my house and kind of be a little crazy like
sense.
That, I'm going to take pictures,
right.
And I'm going to make sure you remember that so next time you don't act a fool in my house.
Right.
So you watch, Karen. When this show gets picked up on Sirius, these photos and videos are somehow going to go viral on the Internet. We'll have our first scandal.
Oh,
right.
Are you kidding? Michael, I've been saving them. I made sure that these pictures are saved in, like, 5 different places so that the house comes down, I still have them because I have one way that we're going to get this show big, and it's through a sex scandal, God damn it.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm glad you guys got that covered. I didn't know if I was going to have to, you know. Donate footage or something.
Well, I was gonna, you know, I was gonna give us a little fun money for the show, and I was gonna call the Inquirer, like that Justin Bieber's baby mama there. That's not the baby mama. Yeter, you know, she got supposedly the reporter. She got $50,000 to just say that, and they knew that it was bunk.
Oh,
so I'm like, well, if I call up
God.
And say Karen Ashley and maybe Jason David Frank are knocking boots. Like, maybe we can make some dough and there's a sex tape. Get us, like, 50 grand. We can go travel. Just forewarn everybody in your circle. We'll, you know, I'll make sure y'all get a
great. Card. Great. Thanks.
Karen's like, I am hanging up. I'm changing my number. I ain't talking to these fools no more.
No more.
Wow. I really have no idea how we got here. This was totally not on the agenda for tonight. But
we were talking about, you know, significant others coming home for Christmas.
I don't know how we got the circle jerk and needle dick, but moving along.
You took it there.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, can we talk about, since, you know, we're talking about craziness, let's just talk about, can we promote what's coming up after the holidays? I don't know how excited you guys are.
Oh, we should.
But
I'm terribly excited.
The prosecutor in Casey Anthony's case, Jeff Ashton, is going to be coming on the show January 4th. It's a Wednesday to promote his new book, Imperfect Justice, Prosecuting Casey Anthony. And I just got the book in the mail last week. I just started reading it. I cannot wait to have this guy on the
show. I need
to
buy the book just so I can be ready. I can't wait. I know he's, like, pissed, but he was like the rest of us. He was so mad that
right.
this girl walked. Like, I mean, I don't know what else you can prove, you know? Like, she
right.
had something to do with it. She had, you know, but,
right.
you know, I guess it just wasn't proved beyond a reasonable doubt.
You know, though, and again, like, I think it's horrible because, you know, one of our longtime friends of the show is Marie Walsh, who was the fugitive mom that was on Oprah.
Uh-huh.
You know, and she's a big advocate for people in prison that really shouldn't be there. Or, you know, they're
right.
going to prison. Maybe they should be, but they really need to be in a rehab center or, you know, being taught how to actually have a normal job, you know, because
right.
they don't know any better. They came from nothing.
Right.
And, you know,
right,
because
a lot of people,
is,
it's the lack of education and a lack of social skills and
right.
maybe
and
depression.
One of the things I had talked about, well, first when it first came out, when we started doing this show, like I ripped Casey Anthony a new asshole. You know,
yeah.
and then I talked to Marie Walsh, and, I, you know, I sat down and thought about it, and I was like, God forbid, what if she didn't have anything to do with it? It just looks bad, because, I mean, it is possible, it does happen, and we're all sitting there ripping this girl apart.
Right.
I mean, seeing what I've seen, I do believe, I agree that there, you know, she had to have known something. Whether she murdered her or not, I don't know. But,
right. They said the unfortunate thing is they proved she was a bad mother. They just didn't prove she was a killer.
Right.
right.
And, you know, unfortunately, and I think everybody being upset, I understood why everybody was upset. But at the same time, this is why we have a justice system. And half the time it doesn't work. But, you know, it's because when there is reasonable now, especially when somebody's up for a death penalty, and it's what they said, I think Dr. Drew or somebody had said, you know, when you're sitting there as a person, as a juror, and you're looking at somebody, and you know that if you can find a reasonable doubt why, how they maybe possibly didn't kill this child, and you know that somebody's going to go to the death penalty for this, like, I think that's part of the issue. Like, why I think the death penalty doesn't work, because when you're looking at somebody 10 feet away from you, I think it puts a different perspective on it than us watching it on television going, she's a murderer.
They also said they should have gone for manslaughter charges, and she would have been convicted. You know, because it's, you know, at least that way they knew, you know, because they didn't have a murder weapon. I mean, did they have her, did they have her, you know, did they ever find her? I don't know. I can't remember.
Well, the baby? They found her a couple miles from her house, buried in a shallow grave, and she had duct tape on her mouth and a sticker on the duct tape. And
that's a smiley face or something crazy.
Right. The defense dropped the bombshell, like, the day, you know, the trial started, saying that the father knew about it, and, she accidentally drowned in the pool, and he told Casey what to do, and he covered it up, you know, and then she went partying. And everybody's like, well, you don't lose somebody in this, then you don't just go partying like that. And I have to strongly disagree with that, because I know when things go haywire or I lose somebody in my life, usually one of the things is I'm going to go, like I did it in the past when one of my close friends died in a drunk driving accident. I went out and got absolutely annihilated for like a month, every night, and partied and just had a good time because that was how I coped with the situation. So I know it is very
possible.
Right,
it didn't have anything to do, potentially do with his death. If you would have, like, been driving the car, so I don't know that you would have handled it that way.
But, I mean, if it was an accident, if it truly was an accident, I mean, I can understand, like, her thought process, her completely shutting down and just, I mean, for 30 days, you know, this child was missing or whatever before 911 was called.
I could understand that to a certain extent, but I couldn't understand how she, like, blamed this other woman. Like, she noticed this woman, the nanny,
I start to wonder,
crazy.
What about her father? Because he was a detective. And if somebody, if you were going to commit the perfect murder, what better, or, you know, whatever cover up the crime, who better to have behind you than a past detective that's going to tell you every step to take? He's going to know what's going to go on in the court to set it up from the beginning.
Yep.
So, you know, it's possible. And the fact that he tried to kill himself during all this, you know, it just, I don't know. To me, it's like, it could be possible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but either way, I'm so excited. And there, hopefully we might have a great surprise for that show as well. So you'll have to stay tuned and keep up with us, because we might have a huge big announcement on top of him coming on.
And that's going to be Wednesday, January 4th. But before we even get into the new year, we've got a great couple of weeks coming up, because this coming Friday, we actually have special guest co-host Angelique Bates on with us, and
yay!
I'm sure we're going to have a fantastic time, because we always do when Angelique is on. We absolutely love her. And then next Friday, the following Friday, December 30th, our last show of 2011, we have another special guest co-host that's coming on with Karen, Jeff, and I, Michael Fishman. You know him. You love him. We have a blast every time he comes on. So you're just going to have to tune in, because it's just going to be a wild ride all throughout the holidays. It's just going to get better and better.
And what date is he coming on again? I'm sorry.
It's Friday.
I think
December
30th.
December 31st?
Yep, Friday.
30th.
No, December 30th. 30th. The 31st is a Saturday. So Angelique Bates, Friday, December 23rd. That's actually this Friday. The next Friday, December 30th, is Michael Fishman.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. Yeah. Love it. Love it, love it, love it.
Going to be
awesome.
A home.
Well, yeah. Well, it was a good show tonight, guys.
No?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so. I agree.
No,
I mean,
is it show time? Is the show really over?
I don't know.
No,
we got about
15
minutes.
About 5-10 minutes, somewhere in there.
Okay.
None of us can tell time.
Don't let me keep track of time.
Yeah, we We've all been drinking. We're on the schnapps.
Oh, Lord. Well, okay. Here's sort of going in with our whole topic about the first time we brought our spouses over to meet, you know, our families and us meeting their families. What about this? Because I've actually had this situation come up. If it comes down to it, if you had to choose between seeing your spouse for, like, the holiday or seeing your family, who would you choose?
What do you mean?
Ooh, like, okay. So, for example here, like, the relationship that I was in, like, his family did their thing on Christmas Day. Well, obviously, so does my family. So, in
mm-hmm.
that case, who do you choose? Do you choose to go with mm-hmm. your spouse or your boyfriend or your husband or whatever to his family's party, or do you go spend it with your family?
I got it good because my boyfriend's family is Jehovah's Witness, so they don't do the Christmas thing. So we do that with my family, and then Thanksgiving we do with his because it's more of a let's just get together and have, you know, spend the day together. It's not really even a Thanksgiving thing. So I got it made.
Gotcha. So yeah, you guys were able to work
yeah.
it out. I mean, in my case, ultimately, what we ended up doing was just not spending the holiday together. I mean, we each went our separate ways.
Well, you guys hadn't been together that long, though.
No. Jason and I were, we were less than a year together. So, I mean, we actually broke up right after the holiday anyway, probably like sometime in January, I think, like right before February. I mean, it wasn't going to happen either way. But so, I mean, I wasn't all that terribly concerned with it, but it was probably one of those things, like, I don't know. Ultimately, like, looking back on it, you know, the first major holiday, like, we went through Thanksgiving and then Christmas, we spent those holidays apart, you know, because
yeah.
I was just like, well, look, you need to spend it with your family, and quite frankly, I really didn't like his family, so, God, his mom hand him down.
Really,
I don't know if you're familiar with, oh, God, I can't take her name out. Really good actress. She's played Thelma Harper in Mama's Family.
Vicki Lawrence?
Oh, yeah. I love that
yeah.
show.
Vicki Lawrence.
Vicki Lawrence.
That was my ex's mother.
How could you not love her, Michael? You loved that show.
I love that woman.
Yeah.
I love the show. That doesn't mean I want to live it. Are you kidding me?
I don't know.
Sorry,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, so we ended up spending, you know, the holidays apart. Looking back on it, I mean, my final thought on it probably, you know, really said a lot and really set a tone for what little there was to the rest of our relationship. I mean, because my
right.
whole thing was always like, well, we'll just spend it apart. Well, probably not the best idea, but anyway.
I know for me, like, we kind of had to compromise. Like,
right.
you know, because it wasn't going to work.
Really
because
close.
Joe's, you know, I gave up Christmas Eve with my family, and we go to Joe's, and they do the huge party there, because at the time, like, my family didn't really do anything on Christmas Eve anymore at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, they just had started to, but, you know, whatever. So we go out to Joe's family, spend Christmas night there, and wake up Christmas morning with his parents, because there's no room at my mother's anyways, so we'd be at
right.
home. So we wake up there, and then we fly back to Auburn, and then do Christmas Day with my mother and father.
Wow.
So we were really fortunate that it worked out that way. And I know, like, I've had friends, like, in the past where, you know, the one significant other wasn't willing to compromise and, like, do both families.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and
right.
I feel like you
it's
have
tough.
To kind of do that, you know? Like, you're a couple,
yeah.
you're supposed to be a team. Like, you can't not spend the holidays together. Like, you have to compromise. You have to deal with the other
right.
one's family. Like, it's a fact of life. Like, you're joining families. That's what you have
right.
to do. You know, and, like,
so you're responsible and you're – you care for your you care for
right.
your significant other. I think
no.
I think it's unfair if you make someone have to choose because that's like, come on, you know.
And I have to say, like, Joe's been
all
really giving because, like, on you know, the holidays are really, really big for my mother. You know, so, like, Thanksgiving,
mm-hmm.
like, I do most of the cooking. I mean, this year we had it here. I've always tried. Like, Joe's family's always invited out here. You know, of course,
right.
you know, they never come. They stay out and do their own thing. But, like, Joe's parents, they like to go out hunting on Thanksgiving morning. So they're not really
mm-hmm.
there anyway. So, you know, we do Thanksgiving here. And then we also do Easter here, too, Because, you know, my mom's, you know, she doesn't have anybody to help. She's got, you know, her issues or whatever. You know, where she just needs help.
Mm-hmm.
So we end up doing the other two holidays here, but then, like, we'll go out the weekend after or whatever, you know. So, I mean, we make sure all the families get included, but it's just, it works
right.
out, you know, whatever.
Right.
I just wish that we were all closer together because, you know, in my ideal world, like, because the minute, like, if Joe and I ever do have a baby, everybody's
mm-hmm.
screwed because I'm not going anywhere. You want to
well,
see
no,
us on
the
holidays?
Well, no,
because
that'll be the year that
here.
They come to your house. That'll be the year that they finally go, okay, it's time for them to have it at their house.
Well,
and they take
here's the issue with this, though. Joe's sister, he has two sisters. Well, he has four, but I don't know the other two. One sister's in North Carolina, so she comes up with the kids, and then the other sister's out by Joe's parents. And, you know, then
mm-hmm.
it's going to be the card, well, our kids are out here, so you need to come here. Well, no. I've got the baby. You're coming to me.
Right.
Like, I've got
right.
the spare room. You need to come here.
Right. Yeah, they'll figure
then,
it out.
You know, but
we'll
and I feel bad because what about, like, his sister's husband and his family? You know, because, but
right.
then I'm the crazy person that I'm like, well, bring them too.
Right.
You know, the more the
well,
merrier.
Maybe
that like,
will be the time that everybody finally comes all together, you know?
Like, this is how weird I am, though. I just assume. Like, I'm like, Michael, bring your whole family. Go ahead. Bring the aunts, uncles, bring them on, except for that one aunt. I don't like her. Not Judy. Judy, I love her.
Yeah.
It's tough. I mean, it's, you know, like Karen said, you've got to compromise because, you know,
yeah.
I mean, my relationship was doomed with other issues way before the whole, you know, Thelma Harper mother-in-law thing anyway. But, you know, if we weren't willing to compromise over the whole where are we spending holiday thing, there was other stuff that we just
yeah.
weren't going to meet on either, you know, and that really sucked that, you know, you can't spend the holidays with your spouse or your loved one. But that
right.
officially puts us out of time. So take a little time to enjoy the radio. Be sure to tune
Yay!
In tomorrow night because we have another fantastic show. And, of course, Angelique Bates this Friday, Michael Fishman next Friday, Jeff Ashton in
That's
the new year. It's going to be crazy. So make sure that you keep up with us online at unscriptedradio.com. Like our Facebook page, because if you don't, I will cut you. And so we'll
follow us on Twitter.
Follow us on Twitter at unscriptedradio, at Karen Ashley, at Jay Emmett, and at Original Mike J.
Bye,
everyone.
At Katrina A. Johnson.
Oh, and
yeah.
Katrina. She's never here. I always forget.
We love her. She's here in spirit.
And make sure you go to Karen's bio on the Unscripted Radio page and go like the Grown Ups page. And tell
yes,
all of your friends
do.
To do it, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Happy holidays!
Well, happy holidays, kids. We totally have, like, 2 minutes left. I don't know what you're thinking. Minutes left, and this fool's trying to end the show. You think he'd been drinking a little too much? The theme song makes me want to die.
Why?
Shush.
He's a hater. He's a theme song hater.
I am.
I never liked any of them. None of them.
I don't want to shush. Shush. Michael, how long of a clip was that? Good Lord, we still have a whole minute.
People like the theme music. What can I say?
Right? That is the longest ending to the show ever. I have to tell you, because we have a few minutes left, so I was just outside. Somebody just drove down the street in like a 1990 Geo Prism, and I'm like, what the hell? Like, it's hanging out of their window, and it was this big-ass dog with, like, both paws out, and, like, it was just, like, head was bobbing in the breeze. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
You ain't right.
The muffler was so loud. Oh, it was a hoot. I'm telling you. Only in Auburn.
Pretty much.
Only in Auburn. Okay, Mike, but now for real, like, we're out of time.
Yeah, we really are.
Okay, let's try it one more time, kids. Good night, everybody. Make sure you tune in tomorrow. We'll be back with Karen.
Okay, so I hope y'all can hear me. I'm trying something new. But again, my co-host has until the end of this theme song to call in. So yeah, hold on just a moment, people. Bear with me.
My mind is full of things I can't explain. But give me a drink or two and I'll explain. You'll see a smile when he says my name. Cause lips ain't just my nickname. I'm the boy you wanna meet. I can tease you on the street. When I'm ready then we'll go. Take you to the after show. If you ain't packing then we'll know. I'll sell it on the radio. So you better come prepared.
So, it is Friday, November 22nd. Jeannie is not with us tonight because she has to work. And my co-host, my other co-host, Jasmine, has yet to call in. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do something a little different. I feel really bad because usually I try to be more prepared for the show than this, and tonight's just not happening. So we're going to do something just a tiny bit different, and I'm going to actually try and call her on air. Please hold.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, who is this?
What time is it, Jasmine?
And you called me on air. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Or did you?
I called you on air. We're live right now. Everyone can hear you.
Awesome. Because, of course, I went to Walmart. There and time passed quickly.
Mhm.
How are you? So about the topic. You never did email me topics because I checked my email for.
Well, you told me not to email them to you because you.
I never said that.
What they are. Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you have. You said you kind of like not knowing what the topics are because that
kind
way
of.
You can get into them differently. So
a little bit, yeah.
I didn't email them to you.
Fair enough.
So, yeah. But anyway, it's Friday.
It
November
is.
November 22nd, 2013. We are live on Lips on the Air. And welcome Miss Tardy to the party because she forgot what time it was and didn't call in on her own accord. And
you know what? I'm gonna start putting.
Because of the number,
and then I recognized your voice and was like, "Oh." So permanent reminder in my phone from now on, at about 8:30 every Friday. Hey, guess what?
You're
show starts in 30 minutes. I'm gonna do it.
That's yeah. Call Jasmine. Very true, Johnny. Very true. When all else.
What did he say?
Yeah, so that's what I'm going to do from now on. If she doesn't call in, and the first time she doesn't answer, oh, it's on. I'm just saying.
I almost didn't. I was just like, New York? I was just like, what?
Yeah, for those of you that don't know, for some reason, this Blog Talk Radio is based out of New York. So yeah. Whenever we call people from the studio, it comes up as a New York number. And whenever we call into the studio, we have to dial into a New York number. So just so you all know and are aware, that's what we have to do. It's a little weird because, okay, I got a new phone. And,
right.
I got the Galaxy S3, woohoo. And I have this new headset. Like, it's not really a headset, but it's like headphones and it's got a mic on it and all that. And
mm-hmm.
I have it plugged in, and I have both the earbuds in, and I don't like how I sound.
Aw, I hate the way I sound whenever I have, like, I hear my calls back at work.
Yeah.
I hate the way I sound.
Well, it's not like I'm hearing my calls back or anything, like, but it's like with the headphones in, my I feel like I'm in a tunnel.
Oh.
So like, not so much I'm in a tunnel. I feel like I'm congested, and this is how I sound to myself when I'm congested, so I don't like how that sounds. But we're going to go with it because I like having my hands free and not holding
yep.
my phone for the entire hour because it makes it easier for me to flip through our topics when I have, like, 20 different tabs open on
my Yeah.
But anyways, how has your week been? I have not talked to you since last Friday.
No, you haven't. I'm trying to think. Anything complicated? Oh, I cut my hair off. I don't know if you saw that picture. Like, straight up.
Picture. I did see that picture. Oh. And I have to say, I was pleasantly surprised.
No.
Mm-hmm. It was nice.
I have it.
And I liked the blonde, you know, like the blonde highlights that you always
have. I was just saying, like, I always have. That I've had for, like, ever now.
Mm-hmm.
That I need to get touched up.
Like, I color my hair sometimes and I do blonde highlights, but I get bored with it too long. Like, I get bored with it after too long. So it's like, I don't think I could ever actually go full on blonde and maintain it because I'd get bored.
That's funny.
I get really bored with my hair. It's weird. Like, I get bored with my hair color because it's brown and it's so plain and it's so, like, you know, but I'm too old to, I guess, to do like the off the wall colors, like the blue or
yep.
the green or the neon red, stuff like that. Like, I feel like I'm a little too old to do that, even though I want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to have red. I'd love to have, like fire engine red hair. I would love it.
Oh, no.
Like a blood red. Or like a deep dark
maybe
blood
a
red.
Blood red.
But I would have to have long hair to do that because it would not look good on me with my hair the length that it is.
I want to do red highlights. Like dark, deep, like, well, I guess not dark, but like.
I did that once.
I don't know.
I did once a couple years ago. I had red and blonde mixed into
mm-hmm.
my hair color. It looked really good. I liked it a lot.
I don't know how it would look on me. Like, I like red. Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, then I just got rid of the blonde, and I just kept it with, like, the red streak, so it was nice.
Mm. Well, that works.
It was nice. I liked it. It was different. Like, I'm not one to really do, like, wild things with my hair like that, so I would love to do that sometime. But in
right.
other news on me, I kind of lost my job today.
like did or kind of did?
No, like I did lose my job today. They
why?
Our call volume dropped like ridiculously
right.
in the last 2 days. They sent me home yesterday. I was there for 2 hours. I did not get a single call in the 2 hours that I was there. They sent us all home.
Right.
And also, yesterday I gave my notice because I have another job. But
right.
I gave my notice yesterday, and when I went into work today, they told me, they said, because call volume stopped out, that they're letting they're only keeping a few people on, and because
right.
I gave my notice, they were dismissing me early. And because I gave my notice, and they dismissed me early,
right.
I cannot go through that staffing agency ever again, because I basically burned a bridge. Because I gave them my notice, but then the company decided that they wanted to fire me, basically. Like, not just let me go. They basically fired me. And when I called the staffing agency to tell them they're releasing me early, they said, okay, well, just so you know, you're not going to be able to go through us again because they let you go.
Mm. Well, that's not fair. You put in your 2 weeks.
Well, actually, I only gave a week's notice because that's all I was required to do.
Lame.
I only gave a week's notice because that's all I was required to do. I was only required to put in 1 week. So I gave my week's
right.
notice, and then the next day, this morning, I actually like drove out there. Like I was on time.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. I'm always on time. Like I'm usually early. I get there early because I leave a little bit earlier than usual because
yeah.
of the way that I go to get there. Just so I make sure like I have time to set up and everything like that. And I get there, and I was maybe there like 5 minutes. I hadn't even
right.
logged into my phone yet, nothing. And they were like, "Yeah, we're gonna go ahead and let you go." I was like, "Okay, whatever. Thanks.
Dang.
I now get to enjoy all of next week. I don't have to work at all next week, so I'm kind of enjoying that. But it kind of pissed me off because it's like basically because they let me go, I just burned a bridge because I can't go. If I ever had to, I couldn't go through that staffing agency again if I ever needed to.
Right.
Because they let me go.
Mm.
And
so question.
They're keeping another girl who was...
Got hired at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were very rude with me when I called them to let them know that the company was letting me go.
Right.
And one of the guys that works in the office, he was like, "Well, you do know that you can't work for us again, right?" And I said, "I didn't know that." And he's like, "Well, that's it. Yeah, you can't work with us again. Have a good one." And hung up the phone.
Oh.
And I was like,
"Oh,
you're getting an attitude with me
over that
really? Because I'm calling you to tell you that this company released me.
Yeah,
because I gave my notice." Okay.
Interesting.
Go figure. I will, and I'm going to totally just call them out. Audeco, never go through Audeco staffing. Just.
Oh, you're funny.
So
can you,
like,
well, hold on, can you go through your, can you go through a staffing agency when you're already working for someone that they put you at? Like, can you be like, "I want to be placed somewhere else. Please do that." Like, where else can you put me?
I think you can. I didn't try it, but I think you can. I think you could. I think you could go in there and be like, "You know, this really isn't working out the way that this really isn't working out for me. Is there any possibility that you'd have another company that I could try and go out for?"
I might talk to Sovereign. Oh, well, I didn't mean to just call mine out, but
oh,
yeah, I mean,
agency too? I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're the reason why I got hired where I'm at right now. And
oh.
I disliked my job to the
you
full extent.
You dislike your job. You strongly dislike your job. But you know what?
I do.
I am really happy because this new job that I have is going to be
yep.
a cakewalk. And it's
well,
be
lucky
so amazing.
Freaking you.
It's going to be so amazing. It's going to be, it's a great job to have. It's a
mm-hmm.
great company to work for. From what I've heard, like, everybody that works at this company has worked there for, like, 10 and 15 years.
Wow.
So I'm really excited about it. And it's only, like, not even 5 minutes away from my house. It's, like, 3 minutes away from my house.
Mm.
And it's a lot more money an hour.
Yeah.
So
yes,
really
I would like a little bit more an hour myself.
Maybe, okay, and Jennifer Mulholland, maybe a Sharon Osbourne red. I like that. Not redheaded stepchild red like Sharon.
Nah. Redheaded stepchild red. I didn't know that color existed.
I love it. Well, you know what? We are going to go ahead and jump into some of our topics for the night.
Alrighty.
You guys know the drill on Lips on the Air. We talk about everything entertainment. And apparently, excuse me,
connected.
That was so disgusting.
On air.
I'm
sorry.
Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry. I don't.
No,
like
you're not.
It, when it comes up, you gotta let it go.
Oh goodness.
You gotta let it go sometimes.
Yep.
Oh my God, I did it again. I'm sorry. Oh.
You're silly.
I don't know what I drank. That's just like doing that to me. I don't like it. But anyways, it is Friday, and we have all of the latest news from the week. Most of it's from today, because that's when I looked for it, found it. So we're going to jump into the first topic. Jennifer Lawrence was apparently confused by Jon Stewart on The Daily Show.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer Lawrence wrapped up her promotional tour for The Hunger Games Catching Fire, which I'm going to see this weekend. With an
I'm going tomorrow.
Show. John Stewart and his staff must have thought they really had something with an old picture of Ellen Mirren, but it didn't work. He thought Lawrence resembled Mirren when she was younger. I watched the interview. You guys might have to watch the clip to get a better understanding of it. But apparently there's an old picture of Helen Mirren that looks that has a striking resemblance to Jennifer Lawrence. I saw the picture and I thought it was good. But apparently it kind of went over Lawrence's head. He says, that looks like you, yeah? She's like, does it? You're so weird, she later added. That was the weirdest thing ever. It is kind of random.
Yeah.
To think about it. How would you just randomly come across a picture of Helen Mirren when she was a teenager?
You wouldn't. You would Google that shit.
That looks like Jennifer Lawrence. That's kind of strange in my opinion. Like that you would just, what, really?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand. I don't get it, but you know what? It's not for me to understand.
Right.
So, you know, that's for John Stewart to decide, apparently. But what are you most excited about? Because you said you're going to see it this weekend as well. You're going to see it tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yes.
What are you most looking forward to when you see it?
I'm really excited to see, try not to spoil, because I don't know how many of them actually read it. I can't wait to see how they did their arena, because
you know
that it's divided into zones, so I'm excited to see how they pull that off, and if they're going to have this, like the indicators that they had last time that they need to move from said zone to another zone, and and if they're going to have all the zones that were added, because some of them they didn't use, like some of them they knew. Because somebody else told them, but they never actually experienced it. So I'm wondering if you actually get to see them or if you actually get to see all 12 zones. So
I kind of hope so, because, like, when I was reading the book, what I love about reading the books is that you get so immersed in it yourself and, like, you have your own ideas on what everything
I
looks
was
like
reading
and
it,
what the characters look like and everything. And when I read the first one, like when I really read The Hunger Games, the first one, I didn't picture the cornucopia look being outdoors and looking the way that it did outdoors.
I thought it would be round, not squared.
I figured it being round, but I guess in my imagination, I more pictured it being more kind of industrial as opposed to it being so naturist. Like I really pictured it being like where it was just this huge, like, metal
round
dome.
Thing.
Like metal covered dome that's where they battled, like that's where they were battling the very beginning, and like how they came up out of the ground and tubes and like that's how I saw it being more of that. So when I actually saw it, I was a little disappointed in that, but I'm really
that what there wasn't more death
do, like, no I was just I was really
oh.
disappointed in how it looked, because like I
oh,
started,
okay.
you know, I expect it to be different. But then again, I also pictured Katniss having a British accent. Go figure.
You are so weird. I never understood where you got that from. Like, in the least bit.
Okay.
I have no idea where you would have pictured her having a British accent. You explain, darling. I guess not to the audience. Go ahead.
Let me explain. The reason I pictured Katniss having a British accent was because I wasn't really into the Hunger Games or anything like that before it came out. Like, I read the book and then went and saw the movie, like, that following weekend, because I had kind of gotten caught up in it and everyone talking about it. But I didn't start really getting into it until this YouTuber, her name is Cater17, and I will probably link her YouTube channel on our Facebook page. If not, I know I did it in a blog post on myessenceradio.com. Y'all should go check that website out if you haven't already and sign up and join it and do all that good shit, because it's a great website.
All that good shit.
But she did kind of a parody of, like, bloopers for the movie before the movie came out, like what she thought some of the bloopers would be like. And she has a British accent. She's a British YouTuber who moved to America and whatever. And she's got an accent. So when I was watching her, and then when I bought the book, because she was kind of the reason I bought the book, because mm-hmm. she kind of got me interested and wanted to read it. As I'm reading it and I'm hearing Katniss's voice, I'm hearing it read, or I'm hearing it in my head as a British accent. So I kind of, that's what I expected when I saw the movie.
Mm.
I know that it wasn't that, you know, Jennifer Lawrence, she's a great actress.
No, well, that's not the thing. For me, it wasn't written in a, like, the dialogue wasn't even written in British accent, which they do. Harry Potter, all the dialogue,
yeah.
British.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can slightly tell.
Well, like, Harry Potter, though, like, I read the books, like, I didn't read the books until after I saw the movie, but when I read the books, I only read the, I haven't read them all. I don't plan on reading them all.
Loser!
I could not get into the fourth one to save my life.
Loser.
Well, okay, but hear me out. Like, I didn't like the fourth movie. I didn't like the fifth movie. I didn't like the sixth. And I really
didn't
like
the fourth movie. You really suck.
I didn't.
Why? That's when they get dark and awesome and all the killing begins.
I guess, like, I didn't like, because I'm not really that big of a Harry Potter fan. Like, I never was.
You're not a pothead.
I'm not a pothead. But I never really was one, though, because, like, I wasn't big into books when I was a kid. I'm still not really
mm-hmm.
big into books. But it has to, like, the story didn't captivate me the way that it captivated, like, other people that I know. Like, my mom.
Oh,
you,
me.
So, it didn't really, I mean, I've seen all the movies, and I think they're good, but I'm just not a big fan of them. So, like, I could go the rest of my life without watching them and be fine. That's just me. You know, it's
right.
Not, you know, you're left to your own devices. You can watch it however many times you want. You can love it. That's great. I don't care. But I just,
rude.
I'm not a big fan of it. So
I know.
I'll watch them, but I would prefer not to.
I don't understand.
I will admit, when Dobby died, I was sad.
I cried when I read it. I was going to say, I think when I saw it, I might have cried when I saw it, but when I read it, I cried like the biggest
and
baby.
When Ron Weasley's mom.
What about his mom? Oh, that was the shit. That was the shit.
I was like, kill that bitch. Yeah.
Kill that bitch. No, I think the worst one, the worst death, because I was upset about Dobby. I was upset about Moody, you know, Mad-Eye. Even Lupin and Tonks hit home. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, when they told me, or when I read, I guess, that
Dumbledore died?
Fred Weasley. Like, the twin brother. Like, one
die.
Of the Weasley... Yes, he did. One of the
no,
Weasley twins
not.
Died. Yes, he did, baby doll. You apparently didn't watch the last movie. Yes, one of the twins died. It was the one without the hole in his ear, because one of them got his ear blasted off, and then the other one, the opposite one, died. I was mad. So mad. Yep, because there was one of the Death Eaters blasted through one of the walls, and one of the like one of the bricks or like that entire wall, I guess you could say, like smashed him, like he died on impact. So.
Oh.
Yeah, we're talking about Harry Potter.
I really did not know that.
Yeah,
I did watch the last movie though. Like, I actually.
How did you miss that? Because Ron, because you know how Voldemort was like, okay, I want peace, and y'all have an hour to find Harry Potter and bring him to me. Collect your death and do whatever you want with them, but you have an hour to bring him to me, or he has an hour to show up. And if he doesn't, then I will continue killing every man, woman, and child that stops me, or something stupid like that. It was during that time frame that him and Ron walked up to the castle together, and that's when Ron seen his brother, you know, laying there on the ground in front of the rest of the family. I was just like, oh, blubbery face.
Yeah, I didn't remember that. Okay.
Yep.
Cool. I'm cool. I didn't know that he died, though, so, yeah, okay, whatever.
Yep.
Anyways, a lot of people died in the Hunger Games, and that's what we were talking about first.
Yes,
so, yeah.
Yes.
I'm really excited to see the Hunger Games catching fire.
Yep.
I am kind of eager to see some of the nice, hotless, shirtless guys. You know.
Well, there's only like two in this one.
I
think.
I'm like eager to see Finnick. I am so eager to see Finnick in that movie. Ooh.
Oh yes, Finnick.
Yeah.
Right? That's how you say it, Finnick.
Yeah.
I always thought it was Finnish. Is it Finnick?
It's not Finnick. Finnick. So I'm excited to see that. When are you going to see it tomorrow? Like, you're going to the Legends probably, aren't you?
Yes, sir. And I believe at around 5:30, if everything goes according to plan, until I hear otherwise, it's going to be around 5:30.
Buy your ticket online. Buy your online. That is the
only
way you're going to get in.
Nah. Doubt it. They're even out for a day.
Online.
I'm sure they will have them. I think we'll be okay. We'll just do a later showing if they don't have the showing that we have. It'll probably be like half an hour to an hour off.
Jennifer Mullen.
Wait.
Why are we talking about Harry
Pothead? Oh, because Harry Pothead is the shiznit.
We're not anymore. We're moving on to our next topic. And, okay, I know it's not even Thanksgiving. I completely understand that it's not Thanksgiving yet. But I tweeted about this earlier. And if you're following me on Twitter, you saw it. I went into Price Chopper in Rainwear, Missouri to cash a check. I walk into Price Chopper. I go up to the bank. And the first thing I hear on their PA system is, "All I Want Is You This Christmas" by NSYNC.
Yes! Yes!
I was so freaking happy to hear an NSYNC song in public.
Yes!
For the first time in a long time. I was excited, and I tweeted about it. I had to tweet about it.
I don't have a Twitter account.
Yeah, you suck, and you should get one, totally.
Whatever, Twitter is lame.
I was so happy. Oh, my God. I loved it. And I remember, I even talked to the bank teller about it. I was, like, kind of digging the NSYNC Christmas song.
What'd they say?
Oh, I know. She's like, oh, I know. She's like, every other day, I'm kind of like, I like the Christmas music. And then the next day, I'm like, I hate it. I absolutely hate it.
Aww.
And she's like, but they play, like, the really good stuff. You know, like NSYNC, Mariah Carey's first Christmas CD. You know. I'm really happy. But also, there are, according to Huffington Post, there are 8 must-have holiday albums for 2013. Now, the list covers Mary J. Blige. It covers Trace Adkins.
Interesting.
Marvin Sapp.
Mm-hmm.
It covers Kem. It covers a bunch of people. But the one that stuck out to me, and this is the Christmas CD that I've been listening to since I bought it.
You bought it.
Kelly Clarkson, Wrapped in Red. The goal of any artist making a holiday album is to put out their own signature on these time-honored songs. On Wrapped in Red, Kelly Clarkson does so with about 5 exclamation marks. Clarkson's booming voice provides the jolt for this collection of Christmas classics. True, you probably don't think Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas needed any spark, but then you've probably yet to hear Clarkson's voice take it to a soaring crescendo. It may not have been needed, but it sure is a welcome change from the sweetheart, but often strayed rendition heard at this time of the year. Now, they posted a review on one of the songs on her Christmas CD, and it says she gave the same kind of jolt to songs like Blue Christmas, conveying the melancholy of the song like a torch singer, or on Run Run Rudolph, where she rocks out more than the guitars. Even when she's not showcasing the full power of her voice, she's giving a powerful performance, such as on Silent Night, delivered with sweet, haunting harmonies with Reba McEntire and Trisha Yearwood. Now, the first time I listened to Blue Christmas by Kelly Clarkson, listening to it, and I'm going to get really old, like real, real old school for a second when it comes to music, when I listened to it, I heard, like, just the way that she delivered the song and the way that her voice sounded really reminded me of Patsy Cline. If you do not know who Patsy Cline is, you really need to look her up. She was an amazing singer in like the 1950s and 60s. She was absolutely breathtaking. And as I'm listening to this song, I'm thinking, I'm listening to it and it sounds so much like Patsy Cline. I did a search to try and see if Patsy Cline ever did that song, and Patsy Cline never in her career recorded Blue Christmas.
So
the fact that I'm hearing Kelly Clarkson and it sounds like Patsy Cline, I think that means it's kind of a time-honored classic and it will become that.
Maybe.
Maybe that's my own opinion. Maybe that's just my own opinion. But I am so in love with Kelly Clarkson, Wrapped in Red. It's coming out on vinyl on Monday, November 25th.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seriously considering buying the vinyl version of it just because I want to say I own a vinyl record, and I have a feeling that one day it will become a collector's item.
So, all vinyls are at this point.
I'm buying the vinyl, and that will be the only vinyl record I own. And I'm probably going to end up buying two copies because one of them I'm never going to open. Like, I'll buy two just so I have one that I can keep, like, with the plastic on it so that when it does get to that year, like, to that time in my life where it's, like, worth a lot of money, I could sell it because it's mint condition and never been opened. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, maybe. But keeping on the Kelly Clarkson train here, Kelly Clarkson felt pathetically alone before meeting husband Brandon Blackstock.
Aww.
In a new interview, Kelly Clarkson admits she was a bit lonely before she met her husband, Brandon Blackstock. I was single for almost 7 years, Clarkson tells Parade magazine of her love life prior to falling for Brandon. Every Christmas it was like, seriously, I'm still pathetically alone? Awesome. I'm still telling people I'm okay with it? I'm not. The 31-year-old said she only had three boyfriends in her life until last year when she decided to give it a shot with Blackstock. After meeting him at the 2012 Super Bowl, the two connected with her manager and his father, Narval Blackstock, in February following their December engagement, the American Idol star told Cosmopolitan, "I've never been truly loved like I am right now."
Aww.
For her, she's married. They got married on October 20th.
Wiggers.
Where she said she bawled like a baby. We both wrote our own vows, and it was hard to get through them, but I did it. Brandon was like, "The Notebook ain't got nothing on me. Come on."
And he took her out
on the lake in a boat or in a rowboat. It was very sweet. The whole thing was perfect. And there is video, a little video that was put together of Kelly Clarkson's wedding on Vimeo.com. And I think it's also on her YouTube channel, youtube.com/user/Kelly Clarkson. I found another video. It's a really cute video.
Oh, my goodness.
And also this past Tuesday, on November 19th, Kelly Clarkson announced that she's pregnant with her first child. So,
yay!
She gets to be a mom. It was funny because I watched an interview with her. Like, yesterday I was in, like, Kelly Clarkson mode. Like, I was, like, full on. I listened to, like, her old albums. I watched funny videos of her on YouTube. Like, it was just a Kelly Clarkson day. I was in love.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a moment. And in one of the interviews, she was talking about how, you know, she didn't really want kids before she fell in love and, you know, got engaged. She didn't really want kids before. And now she's like, yeah, as soon as we get married, like, we're going to start practicing. Like, it's going to be on. We're going to have one. So
nice.
Apparently, she kept true to what she said because a month later, she's pregnant. So, hey, apparently.
There you go.
Good for you, Kelly Clarkson. I'm very happy for you. I'm still going to meet you one day. I have to.
At some point in time.
She is my idol. I'm absolutely in love with this woman, and I may not steal her away from her husband, but I do at least want to get a kiss on the cheek from her.
No.
So, I'm just saying, Kelly Clarkson, you wished me a happy birthday on my 18th birthday. Follow me on Twitter if you're listening, which I doubt you are. But hey, it's good to put things out in the universe. So, yeah. If you happen to listen to this one day, at James Hankins on Twitter, follow me. Okay? I'm just saying.
Do it.
Anyways, we're going to keep moving on. And I have a question. Have you ever seen the movie Mrs. Doubtfire?
Yeah. Duh. Who the hell hasn't?
I absolutely loved that movie when I was
right.
And the fact that it's 20 years old
Holy shit.
Really kind of freaks me out. But
mm-hmm.
also, 20 years later, these are the issues Mrs. Doubtfire will really make you think about entirely. Now, it covered issues that really weren't mainstream, that really weren't popular in that time, like they are now, like with the whole, with smoking, okay?
Yeah.
A few minutes in, Robin Williams' character, Daniel Hillard, loses his job over an issue of Conscience. Playing the voice of a cartoon parrot named Pudgy, he begins ad-libbing the scene to distract from
the fact that the bird was smoking
a cigarette. No,
yep.
From the reality about having a bird having a cigarette shoved into his mouth. Oh,
and enjoying it.
I cannot. Yeah, and enjoying it. His lines are, "Oh, I will not do this. I cannot. Oh, what a foul way for a bird to die. I don't want to get beef cancer. My lungs are blackened."
Yeah.
In the movie, Hillard refuses to stick to the script, and his boss threatens to fire him. He instead quits. Piss
off, Lou.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I know.
Refusing to send the message to younger viewers that it's okay to light up. Now, back in 1993, the Department of Health and Human Services figures showed that 30.5% of high school students and 25% of all adults were cigarette smokers. By 2011, that number has plummeted to 18% and 19%, respectively.
Mm.
So we have become a lot more health conscious in the world. I completely agree with that. But it also kind of shows, like, what I think really, that it kind of goes unnoticed throughout the whole film.
Right.
Marriage.
For who?
Gay marriage.
His
like,
brother?
After, yeah. Uncle Frank and Aunt Jack.
Yep. No, I remember.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It covers the topic of gay marriage, and it's like, it never, like, I really didn't even remember this until I read it.
It didn't really cover it. I mean,
right.
Like,
but,
I mean, it was cool about the fact that they had, you know, that his brother was gay and had a partner. And, like,
yeah.
You've got to see the two of them interact and, like, put William together. Like, I mean, that was cool, but it didn't really touch on what society really thought of that.
But I know that. But what I'm saying is, like, you didn't really see that a whole lot in family movies like that. Like, you didn't.
No, even having a sibling.
Right. It's having, like, Mrs. Doubtfire was, like, I would say one of the first family movies of that time to actually have, to actually show a gay couple, let alone just a gay sibling who doesn't necessarily, you don't actually see them do anything with that sexuality in the movie. You
yeah.
just know what they are. So it was,
well, what's
it was
funny
cool.
as well is that it was okay with the family. Like, mm-hmm. they weren't freaking out about it. Like, I guess you also have to take into consideration how old he is, but there's some families out there that never get over it. Like, people lose their mothers, people lose their sons, their daughters, their
yeah.
fathers, you know, over this subject. And I guess it is cool. Right. And it's pretty cool to see that, you know, Rob could go to his brother and be like, dude, I need a favor. Can you make me over,
well,
you
then,
know, and
well,
yeah,
line,
make
the
me
the
over
line,
again.
The line is, Daniel DeFrank says, "Can you make me a woman?" And he goes, "Honey, I'm so happy." I loved that. It's by far one of my favorite movies. I really wish I had it on DVD because I really want to watch it now.
Right. And then the song, "Matchmaker, Matchmaker, Make Me a Match." Right.
I love that.
Right. That whole scene.
Is such a great actor. Like, the way he conveys these characters, and you forget that it's Robin Williams. Like, you actually
right.
get involved into the character. Mrs. Doubtfire was like that when he was in the movie Jack.
Yes.
Where he played a 10-year-old who had,
mm-hmm.
He, like, developed, like, really, really early and was, like, a
10-year-old
kid. That movie,
yeah.
I loved Bicentennial Man. I
yes.
loved that movie. Like,
yes. I bought that on VHS, bro. Yeah.
We have that on
back
the
when VHS.
Somewhere.
Right, like back when VHS was the ish.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the
one
end
movie,
thing.
The one movie of his that I want to see is Patch Adams. I've never seen that movie.
It's on Netflix.
I might have to watch it because I've never seen it. And I heard it was a really
oh,
good
wait.
Movie.
Oh, wait. Hold on.
Great.
Is it Netflix?
He got, like, didn't he get, like, an Academy Award nomination or something for that movie?
Maybe. It was one of his, yeah, it was one of the movies that he got nominated for something for. That one, I think he, if he didn't, he should have for Mrs. Doubtfire. Did he? Did he get anything for Mrs. Doubtfire?
I don't know.
I really hope he did. Like, that was a phenomenal movie. Like, even my younger cousins know that movie and like that movie. And it's just like, what do you know about Mrs. Doubtfire? That was 10 years after, or like 10 years before you were born, you know? Like, what do you know about this movie?
Well, okay, did you know that when he did the voice of the genie in Aladdin,
mm-hmm.
It says here, Williams voiced Genie in Disney's animated film Aladdin for SAG scale pay of only $75,000 on condition that his name or image not be used for marketing and his supporting character not take more than 25% of the space on advertising artwork. Because he also did the movie, Toys at the same time. Since Toys was scheduled for release 1 month after Aladdin's debut. Additionally, Williams believed that the character's voice was his property and did not want it to be imitated. The studio went back on the deal on both counts, especially in poster art, by having the genie in 25% of the image, but having other major and supporting characters portrayed considerably smaller. Wow.
Wait. So I'm trying to digest what you're talking about. So he didn't want them marketing Genie, but they did,
like,
and hugely.
He didn't want them. Well, he didn't want them marketing the Genie as being like a main character in the film because.
But
he's more of a supporting character, and he didn't want like the advertising of the advertising for the movie to show the Genie being bigger than the stars in the film, or than the main characters of the film. So I can understand it. And the fact that he did this for $75,000 and this movie made
mm-hmm.
a lot more than that. Like
yeah.
Aladdin was one of the biggest box offices of that time for an animated film. So
probably.
I mean, it's cool that he did that, you know, that he didn't want it to be about him. He wanted it to be about the movie and it actually be about the movie. Did you know Robin Williams and I have the same birthday?
You and who? Aladdin release date?
Me and Robin Williams have the same birthday.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
His birthday is July 21st. That's random.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
A little bit. A little bit.
Yeah.
And what's funny is I don't know anybody else in that movie. Like, Iago? Dang it. Yeah, I don't even know Iago. Like, Robin Williams. Gilbert Godfrey. I know the name. I can't put a face to it. Who's Aladdin?
Aladdin was an actor by the name of... You would ask me that question.
Ha ha ha. Chip
you
up.
Give me just a moment. Give me just a moment. I will have a name for you.
So basically, well, my point is Robin Williams was the biggest actor in that movie. Was he not?
He was. He was.
I can't believe he only did it for $75,000. Oh, my God.
I know.
I mean, I'd be happy with $75,000 for using my voice. But Robin Williams is just so amazing. That's major kudos for him for being like, look, if you just do this, and you only have to pay me $75,000. You know, and I can't believe they went back on that for the fact that he was willing to be like, look, all you have to do is pay me $75,000. Just don't make this movie about me. You know, don't overdo me. Yeah, don't overdo my character. And that's exactly what they did. And what was the other movie you said he had coming out that year?
A movie that he did called Toys. And I've seen
Toys?
That movie. Yeah. I've seen that movie, and I am trying to remember what it was about, like how
I don't.
How it
yeah, I'm like drawing a blank.
Because I've seen that movie before, and I really liked it. I really
was
liked
it the one where he was like the insane clown and had like the TV show? No, that was killing something with Edward Norton. I can't remember. Like he was trying to kill Edward Norton the entire movie. Because Edward Norton took his job, took his time slot.
Well, you know, actually, in toys, it was... The reason you probably don't know it was because I failed at the box office.
Yeah, that would be why. It bombed. He should have went. He made up for it with Aladdin, kind of, because he got paid back... Like, he got paid for... Like, every actor gets paid revenue from that, don't they?
Yeah.
So, or at least Aladdin did well, I hope. Like, decent, at least.
Aladdin did incredibly well.
Good.
Jason from Full House. Was his name
what?
Jason?
Wait, wait, wait.
Jason. Not Jason Weaver. What? Jason Weaver is a black man. Who
okay.
Is, on,
is he really?
Yeah, Jason Weaver was a black man who was on Smart Guy. The guy who played DJ's boyfriend, his character's name was Steve. And I'm thinking his name was Scott, like his real name. I think his name was Scott.
Oh,
like
Full House. Winier, okay.
Or Winnier or something like that. Yeah, he did the voice of that. I'm not calling you out, Jennifer Mahomes, and I'm not throwing you under the bus.
What are you talking about?
Jennifer Mahomes, we tend to throw her under the bus quite a bit on Uncensored Radio. And this is me telling her I'm not throwing you under the bus. I'm just giving you some information. I'm
right.
Giving you some different information. Anyways, I love you, Jennifer. I do. Don't get mad at me, please. Don't get mad. Don't get mad. And
please, Mahalan, don't get mad. Don't get mad.
Yes, Jason Weaver was the Lion King. He was the he was the singing voice of young Simba. He did not actually provide a speaking part. He was the singing voice for young Simba in the Lion King.
Oh, okay.
I know way too much about Disney movies.
A little bit, darling. It's all good.
So we're going to get off the Disney train. We only have like 13, 14 minutes left.
Yeah.
And apparently MTV's birthday gift to Miley Cyrus is going to be
they did what?
Programming. MTV's giving Miley Cyrus the biggest birthday present anyone can give anyone.
Right. 8 hours of
programming. 8 hours of programming.
What?
Yes.
8 hours to just do whatever the fuck she wants.
MTV says it has a special present for Miley Cyrus on her 21st birthday. She's getting the channel. The pop star will host what MTV is calling an 8-hour celebration of her milestone birthday Saturday starting at noon Eastern time. The programs include 21 candles, Miley's MTV moments, offering 21 reasons for Cyrus's popularity. It will be followed by a repeat showing of the MTV film Miley the Movement Deluxe Edition. MTV said Tuesday that Cyrus will also serve up two of her favorite MTV shows, Awkward and Snooki and JWoww.
Wow. The
singer actress has been skillful at drawing attention for herself in MTV, including her controversial twerking at the summer's Video Music Awards and this month's MTV European Music Awards. Cyrus also smoked a blunt on stage.
Did you see that? She straight up went out on stage and lit a doobie up. Like, just, oh, look what I got in my pocket. Light it up.
Because it's legal in Amsterdam, I completely understand that. It's legal. Drugs
is that
legal
where she was?
Yeah, in Amsterdam. Drugs are legal there. Totally, you know,
whatever. Wow.
More power to you. If I was there and someone offered me something, I'd probably take it too. But I'm just... Only because it's legal there. Only because it's legal.
There is only certain things I am willing to try, and none of it being hallucinogens. Like, I will never drop acid, and I will never eat mushrooms.
Oh, I would never drop acid. No, thank you. No, thank you.
All right, yes, I am good on that. And
but,
fun fact,
you know,
that my friend just made me aware of, mushrooms are grown in shit. Just an FYI, you did not know that.
Well, You know, big ups to MTV for giving Miley Cyrus 8 hours of television programming.
Yeah.
You know, let's see what she can do on her birthday to garner even more attention. Anyways, we only have a couple, we only have like 10 minutes left, and there's one last story that we're going to get to.
Okay.
Apparently, this is one thing that can only happen to one person.
Right.
Anyone who has ever ridden a cab in New York City, lost an iPhone somewhere, and anyone familiar with the controversial life of Courtney Love, this story is for you. While we are all struggling to stay warm indoors in the near freezing temperatures of New York City last night, Courtney Love was out and about taking cabs here and there. In one of them, Love managed to lose her iPhone, usually a death sentence for the gadget. Only in Love's case, her iPhone was found by a Good Samaritan who had every intention of giving it back. And not just any Good Samaritan, New York Times columnist Frank Brennan.
Oh, hell.
New York Magazine spoke to Brunny, who explained, "It didn't ring last night, but it rang this morning, and I discovered that I couldn't even answer a call. It was super locked." Brunny's assistant realized she could see incoming texts and Instagram notifications, the contents and senders of which only led to one conclusion: it's got to be Courtney Love. So Frank went on Twitter this morning and posted, "Weird. The iPhone left in my yellow cab last night clearly belongs to @Courtney, (Courtney Love), trying to return it. Anyone? Courtney?" And New York New York Magazine reports that Love's manager soon got in touch. In now deleted tweets, a grateful Love posted, @NYPost, no offense, love you too. Before that she said, @NYPost, @FrankBruni, have fun reading my text messages. Please don't publish my dirty pics. Bahaha. Thank God it wasn't someone from the Post. And then she comments, @NYPost, no offense, love you too. It continues on to say, and Bruni summed, "It's not exactly a column I could write, but it's a fun story. Now, Courtney and I follow each other on Twitter, and I have a direct message from her. This is the beginning of a beautiful friendship, or at least a signed copy of a whole album." So, I got to admit, I kind of liked Hole. I kind of liked Hole back in, like, the late 90s. I liked, I liked the song Celebrity Skin, or the album Celebrity Skin. I don't remember what the song was called.
Right.
I think it was called Celebrity Skin, actually.
I don't really know any of her stuff.
But I used to like Hole in the late 90s. They were good. I thought they were good. I liked Courtney Love. I still like Courtney Love. She's crazy and she's fun.
She's a little nutty.
I'd like to hang out with her just one time in my life, just to see what it's really like.
I'm good. I don't need the drama.
Yeah, so much drama for one night, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
But then again, I don't like to go. I don't really like to leave my house to do stuff. So.
No, you really don't.
I really don't. It's kind of one of my bad flaws. Like, I kind of need to get over it.
Yeah, a little bit, because you're no fun.
Excuse me, miss, I just grew up at your house last week.
Don't judge me, God. Man.
I'm no fun, yet you got stuck at my house. Okay.
That's me being fun, not you.
Because throwing up is so much fun, really?
No, not really, no. Entertaining, at the least.
Oh, yeah, having to clean my house afterward, yeah.
Gosh, that was so disgusting, man.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
disgusting.
We only have a few minutes left, and you guys know that, you know, y'all know my spiel. Tomorrow is Saturday, which means it's time for the Jake Pentland Show. He has Michael Fishman on the show and also Lana Turner.
Oh, I didn't even know you could advertise for Mr. Michael Fishman.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Like,
he's letting you say his name now.
Right. No, he's not. I'm just saying it because I'm maniacal like that. Ooh, Michael Fishman. Michael Fishman.
I mean, man, I didn't mean to just kind of, like, put that out there like that. It was just funny. Like, I never thought I'd hear the name Michael Fishman on Uncensored Radio anymore.
Michael Fishman. Lana Turner, who's also married, she's a comedian, a YouTube comedian, and she's also married to comedian Ralphie May. She'll be on the show as well tomorrow. They're going to be talking about family holidays and how to survive the holiday with your family. So,
oh God,
check that out. 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Also, make sure you're listening to Guilty Pleasures every Monday through Friday night right here on Uncensored Radio at 9 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m., 6 p.m. Pacific. No Rules Just Mics every Thursday at 8 p.m. East, 5 p.m. West, and can't remember, Lips on the Air. I couldn't remember my own show.
Oh, damn.
Really?
Like, how drunk are we? Not?
I'm not at all.
What the hell?
I couldn't remember my own show. Seriously?
Oh, that's funny.
Lips on the Air every Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. I don't know what we're doing next week. I don't know who all is going to be here next week. I don't know.
For Lips on the Air?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on next week for Lips, but we're doing something. So.
babble
that we do every week. What?
Right. Since we have time, yeah, see the deer. I just said that. I'm sorry. I'm driving now, people. I totally got into a car accident earlier today. Like, on the fucking highway. I got into a car wreck. Like, I fucking hit a guy because the guy in front of him braked. Yes, because I wasn't going 60. By the time I hit him, I was only doing, like, 30. Because I hit my brakes. So the guy in front of him, the person in front of him slammed on his brake. The next person swerved around him. My guy braked. I braked, but hit him. And then the guy or person behind me swerved around me. So it was just all sorts of fucked up on 435 today, like on my way home.
Wow.
Yup. Exchange insurances and the whole bit.
No cost.
Oh. But I feel bad for the guy because his car is only a week old. Like, he had just got the poor baby. And I was like, I always didn't feel bad because he came at me wrong when I first got out my car. Because he was like, you got your insurance? I was like, yes, I do. I was like, just give me a second. And then I went and grabbed my insurance.
Didn't he hit the guy in front of him?
No, he didn't hit the guy in front of him because the person in front of him swerved around onto the do you call the side of the highway? The shoulder.
The shoulder?
Yeah, like everybody who swerved onto the shoulder and missed the person in front of him. I didn't have that much time to do that, so all I had time to do was slam on my brake. And prevent my car from getting more fucked up than it would have if I would have hit him doing, you know, the full 50. Well, I mean, we weren't really doing, like, the 70 that you would on the highway because it was fucking traffic like a motherfucker. But I think I was up to, like, a good 60 to 50. And so I slammed on my brake, and by the time I hit him, I was doing, like, maybe 30. So, and Buick babies, they hold up, if you did not know that. Like, they hold up.
I figured they did. But you know what? I'm glad you're okay. I'm glad you're still alive.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that I got to call your ass on tonight's show. We only have like a minute left. All
right.
Thank you for being the awesome person that you are and making me call your ass. Because you were at Walmart, and you know what time we do this show.
I know.
Friday
I'm
night.
Sorry.
And I didn't have
and actually,
to remind
it wasn't
you
even.
Week. And I didn't have to remind you last week to show up. So I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Next week, if you're on the show next week, which I don't know if you're going to be on the show next week or not. I don't know.
Oh, because you might shut up for Jeannie.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be me and Jeannie next week or what's the deal. But you know what? That's neither here nor there, and it's the end of the show. So I love you guys. Thank you all so much for tuning in to Lips on the Air this Friday evening. This has been an amazing hour. It was fun, and I had so much fun. Jasmine, Jeannie's talking about me. I'm sorry. Jasmine, thank you
I was
so going to
say, boy.
Thank you so much for being a part
love
of
you.
I love you. Jennifer Mulholland and Johnny Dubell in the chat room, thank you all for kicking in with us.
Regulars.
If you guys didn't know, you can also hang out on Blog Talk Radio in the chat room. But we got 5 seconds left before we get kicked off. So I love you guys. Talk to you later. This is Lips Kissing Off. Yeah. Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Whoa.